The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along, as always, to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. And on this edition of the podcast, the Thursday edition to emphasise as well, I am delighted to be joined by none other than Craig Forsyth. Mr. Forsyth, how are you?
Yeah, all good, Bobby, all good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're very excited for the 3 days of racing. What we're going to enjoy it at Chester.
Yeah, it's a unique track, isn't it? Gets huge crowds for this meeting, and obviously the Chester Cup used to be on the first day.
Yes.
Of course, now that got shifted about and is on the final day, the Friday.
I don't know about you, Craig, but it still confuses me. It still really confuses me that they've moved all the races around, because I expect to see the Chester Cup on Wednesday afternoon, and now I'm going to wait till Friday. So yeah, they've swapped a few races around, and yeah, I'm seeing the old ways it used to be honest with you. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm not adapted.
Yeah. As you get older as well, Bobby, it's even more difficult to adjust all these changes and race sponsorships. But yeah, in terms of Chester, it's always a spectacle and something to look forward to. They have a great mix of pattern races, handicaps, maidens, just a great mix and a really enjoyable 3 days racing. And it's the first midweek flat festival, if you like, of a long, hopefully hot summer. York follows hot on the heels, and you know we just flow on from Chester. Really, it really is a great 3 days.
We be at York next week at all?
I'm in here on the Thursday and the Friday, so okay. If I go, it will be Wednesday only. So I may extend my stay in Yorkshire by an extra day to take in the first day of the Dante. So yeah, again, just another great 3 days to look forward to.
And Chester as well, we're just saying off mic, it's a unique course. You're constantly turning left-handed with how tight the track is. And the bottom line is some horses love Chester, some just don't.
Yeah, indeed. You know, you're looking for a speedy type, a well-balanced type to handle the bends. And, you know, it just adds to the equation of trying to come up with the right horse on the day for the track. And sometimes you can, you know, look at the build of a horse, the way a horse moves. Maybe an inexperienced horse has only had one or two runs that isn't in the form book. You know, it's sometimes an angle in to finding winners at Chester. But everybody has different ways. Obviously, we know the draw's very, very important. And the prices is, you know, all accounted for with the draw nowadays. So there's very little value in terms of betting low-drawn horses at Chester. But it's exciting stuff.
And we're just going to briefly touch upon Pat Smullin. Of course, he announced his retirement yesterday from the saddle.
Yes, you know, he's had a great career. He's only 41, as Pat, but he's obviously got other ideas, and he's had his injuries that's probably forced his hand here in the end. Obviously, career highlights, I would think, would have to be Harzand winning the English Derby in 2016, and also following up in the Irish Derby. So, you know, he was one of many Group 1 victories for Pat. And, of course, he won the 2000 Guineas back in 2003 with Refuse to Bend. So, he's had a great career, and we wish Pat all the best in his retirement.
Looking ahead to the action on Thursday afternoon at Chester, I believe you're going to preview the first four races on the card, which will all be live on ITV4 as well. Starting first, Craig, with the 150. This is a Class 2 handicap over the Flying Five on the Rudy.
Yeah, it's quite a hard race to work out. We are obviously Copper Knight will probably end up starting a shorter price than he should do, really, because he's drawn in the in stall one. He's a previous course and distance winner. He handles soft ground well. Uncharacteristically, he got off to a slow start at Musselburgh last time, missed the kick. He's usually up with the pace, but he left himself a mountain to climb at Musselburgh. Eventually ran on for fourth behind Sahik. It was a good run. But in terms of his mark of 100, Bobby, he doesn't have a huge amount in hand. There could be one or two better handicapped in this race than him. So at 3-1, he doesn't make a huge amount of appeal, to be honest.
What would be your selection For that race, then, Craig. What's going to get you off to a flyer on day two?
Well, like I said, this is probably, of the four races we're previewing, the most difficult and the one I have least confidence in. But Growl, you know, if you haven't been sucked in by Growl in the last few years, then you're doing something wrong. You know, it's a few years since he has won, but one of his best performances last year came at Chester. With cut in the ground, off a mark of 99. He's now £4 lower. Mm-hmm. Finished third behind Bossy Pop on that occasion. He's very well handicapped. He's had a run to blow away the cobwebs at Haydock. You know, everything's going to be in his favour. Like I said, it's a long losing run and it's adding up. So it should come with a warning, the selection. But a double figure odds at the time of recording, 10-1 each way, would be a tentative vote to kick off the Thursday at Chester.
Second race on the card, the 2.25. This is the listed D Stakes for Colts and Geldings over the extended mile and a quarter. Do you think Fox Chairman can follow up his win last time out in that maiden? Just had the one start.
It's a big jump, isn't it, from a maiden to this type of listed event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he travelled well through that. He handled some slight cut in the ground. I think it will be softer at Chester, but I don't think there was a huge amount of strength and depth for a Newbury maiden. The overall time was fairly moderate. You know, visually he went through the race very well and won comfortable in the closing stages. But this represents a bit of a jump in class, Bobby. So he may find again one or two more experienced at this stage of his career.
What's going to be the selection for the D Stakes this year?
Well, obviously, Aidan O'Brien has a strong hand. You know, he started the season extremely well. Circus Maximus, he looked a real galloper last year. You know, he finished fourth in what was the Racing Post Trophy, the Vertum, as it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
That form's been frank. The winner's gone on to win the Guineas this year. And they tried to make, even back then as a two-year-old, they tried to make plenty of use of mm-hmm. his stamina. You know, he tried to make it a true test. Setting a good, strong gallop on that occasion. And he just succumbed to, you know, three quicker horses in the closing stages. Stepping up to middle distances this year shouldn't be a problem for him. He should improve again. I think looking at the dam side of his pedigree, there's more stamina there than Mohawk has. And that mm-hmm. could be the doubt for Mohawk. He isn't guaranteed to stay this trip.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be doubts about him getting home. So for me, the selection would definitely have to be Circus Maximus. And one worthy of a mention that could run on and fill the forecast spot is Living Legend.
Okay.
I'm very impressed with him, despite only winning a handicap of 86 at Bath last time. He beat Pablo Escobar of Willie Haggis, his yard. The two were well clear. He was outpaced at the early stages of that mm-hmm. race. He wasn't letting himself down on the very quick ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's even more improvement to come from this horse with a little bit cut in the surface. And I think there's a big race in him this year, Living Legend. He could be the one, you know, that could surprise a few and maybe run on for the forecast spot behind Circus Maximus.
Third race on the card is a Class 2 handicap over the extended 7. And Craig, at the time of recording, King of Tonga for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan is the 11-2 market leader.
Yeah, he went into the notebook, Bobby, where he's run at Beverley on his seasonal reappearance. You stop that race at the furlong, Paul. There was three in line, the eventual winner, King of Tonga, and James Watt. James Watt didn't stay in the end. You know, he was beaten five lengths, but dropped back in trip at Newmarket at the weekend
mm-hmm.
to six. He threatened to win, didn't he? I had a decent bet on him each way, 25-1. He only finished third in the end. But, you know, for me, that form was franked. King of Tonga is definitely a horse I'm going to be interested in
okay.
for this season. But I just feel, in terms of Thursday's race, the £6 rise mm-hmm. and also the move up from Class 3 company to a Class 2 handicap might just be enough to put me off and have me looking elsewhere, Bobby. And there's one I really like in here.
Which is?
Linkin Park for okay. Mick Appleby and Sylvester D'Souza. A horse who won twice last year on soft ground at Pontefract, followed up at Haydock off a mark of 83. Reappeared at Newbury, didn't show anything at all. Very, very disappointing effort. Was eased down by Dougie Costello a long way from home.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to Musselburgh, and the early sectionals tell us that he went off a little too hard on that occasion, set a furious gallop, and eventually passed in the closing stages, finishing fourth. The winner has subsequently gone in again, franked that form. And Lincoln Park's been dropped a pound. And stall three, Sylvester D'Souza, an out-and-out front runner, handles cut in the ground, still looks on a very favourable handicap mark.
Yep.
He just ticks all the boxes. I am really excited about the chances of Lincoln Park on Thursday. He would have to be the nap at 8-1 each way at the time of recording. I think he's got outstanding claims.
And the big race of the day on day two of the Chester May meeting is the 3:35. This is the Group 3 Ormond Stakes over the extended 1 mile, 5 furlongs. We've got Kew Gardens in here, Craig, Fred O'Brien and Ryan Moore, of course, the winner of the William Hill St. Ledger of 2018. And we've also got as well the Chester Cup winner in here as well. Magic Circle for Ian Williams and Jim Crowley.
Yeah, should be a fascinating clash between the two. And let's not forget Mirando of Andrew Baldens, who improved to win a Group 3, or dead heated in a Group 3 on his final start at Newbury last year. And I still think there's a little bit more to come from him this time around. But Kew Gardens, I think he's the one that's going to probably be more suited by the turns of Chester. This trip, I think, will probably prove to be a little too sharp nowadays for Magic Circle. He's now 7-year-old. You know, he probably wants a little bit further than this distance. This looks like it could well be a prep for something else further down the line. So, you know, I think the chances here are that Kew Gardens could prove a little bit too quick, a little bit too sharp for some of the others that would relish a little bit further.
Craig, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to work with you here on the Daily Racing Podcast. And normally we would get a couple of selections, but you've gone through the first four with four selections. Thank you.
Yeah, well, hopefully, Bobby, there's a winner or two in there. And obviously the main hope of the four for me is Lincoln Park. I'm hoping for a big run. And hopefully any listeners that join in, you know, we can hopefully line up to get paid out.
Or pay for the weekend.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Thank you very much to Craig there. And don't forget to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon. It's live from 1:30. Your team are Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley. And they will be taking you through all the action for day two of Chester, plus Huntingdon, Worcester, Tipperary, Wincanton and Chelmsford.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.